Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today, this the fourth Sunday in the season of Advent, is our lesson from Romans chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, that's a good way to start a sermon, if you think about it. The book of Romans is an extended sermon from St. Paul. It's a good way to begin it, the way we do begin it. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Those words bring home what our faith is. Grace to you, peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. You got both where they come from and what the destination is, you and me. It was the grace of God that let the star shine on the wise men, brought them to the baby Jesus. It was peace that was promised to the lowest class of people, the shepherds. Grace to you, peace to you, from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We got it all right there. We could just say amen and call it good. Except for the fact that you and I, just like our first parents, have a way of rearranging the furniture. We like rearranging the furniture. For some people, the only way that back in the day Jesus made sense to them was as a helper on the path to a good life and a clean life. Nicodemus said that to Jesus when he first met him. He said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher. How do you know that? He didn't know that. It was something just arose in his heart. We know that you're a teacher who has come from God. Rich young man came to Jesus and he said, Rabbi, what good things must I do to inherit eternal life? Trying to make sense of what Jesus was about. Other people, the only way Jesus made sense to them was as a healer. We know that thousands of people followed after him looking for physical healing, and we don't criticize them. You can understand it. Imagine for a moment a world that has no antibiotics, a world that has no vaccinations, a world that has no painkillers, a world that has no surgery, at least not to speak of. Other people went to Jesus trying to make sense of him with other ills. Man speaks up from the crowd. He says, Teacher, it's kind of repetitive, isn't it? Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me. For still other people, Jesus only made sense as part of a bigger plan for the nation, for the country. Rabbi, once again, Rabbi, you are the King of Israel. That's what Nathanael said when he first met him. Gospel of John tells us that people wanted to take Jesus and make him king by force. Over and over again, folks, rearranging the furniture so it would make sense to them what he was about. One human idea, one human religion after another. But the whole list of them, the whole lot of them are just a bunch of deer paths. Deer paths are great. They look like they're the main path until all of a sudden they aren't. They aren't the way. You end up at the top of a cliff or maybe someplace even more dangerous. But you have all these people who are trying to make sense of Jesus and they're not getting there. And you're surprised as you read the Bible because the people that should be getting there aren't getting there. There is, for instance, the priests in the temple. They should have gotten it, but they don't. Jesus barely makes a dent with them. You got the Pharisees, lay leaders, men of zeal and devotion, always studying the Bible, always quoting the Bible, always doing good deeds. Jesus doesn't make much of a dent with them. You got the scribes, the Bible scholars and teachers, and once again, no such luck. You got the political people, you got the activists, at least they're motivated, they want to get something done, but Jesus doesn't make much of a dent with them. So what do you got left? We've pretty much emptied out the barrel. What do you got left? Well, what you got left is what's at the bottom of the barrel. What you got to scrape out of the bottom of the barrel. And that was the problem that folks had with Jesus. They said, this man welcomes sinners and he eats with them. He's scraping the bottom of the barrel. A man said, if Jesus were really a prophet, he would know what sort of woman it is that is anointing his feet, that she is a sinner. And that's a word that is not one that anybody likes being called. They didn't like it back then. We don't like it today. Our pride and our self-concept do not handle that very well unless people walk on eggshells around us and smooth our feathers and say it in the gentlest way possible. Problem with Jesus, though, is he doesn't smooth feathers very well, does he? He's not very good at it. And yet, that's the only way you're going to figure him out. The only way he's going to make sense to you. I mean, think about it in terms of all the gifts that God has given you. This time of year, we think about that sort of thing. You think about your home, your family, your freedom, your health, your job. You think about the Christmas gifts underneath the Christmas tree. But we learn here that there's an even greater gift, and that is to have the scales fall from your eyes and to see for the first time what you really are. In the eyes of the judge of all mankind and in the light of his holy law, what your life and heart really are like before him. Because before the scales fall from your eyes, you stand tall and you talk confidently. You talk like St. Paul in the book of Philippians. He said, if anybody else thinks he's got reasons to be confident before God, I've got more. I have more than that person. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I'm of the people of Israel. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to God's law, I'm a Pharisee. As for zeal, I persecuted the church. As for righteousness, by keeping the law, I was faultless. You know, you can talk that way when the scales are still on your eyes. You can talk that way when you're not too much of a sinner. But what happens when you really begin to see? You talk that way, and at the same time, you recognize something else. He says, once again, this is St. Paul. He says, together with all of those wonderful things that I thought I was before Almighty God, I was also a blasphemer. And I was a persecutor. And I was a violent man. But the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and the love that are in Jesus Christ. From God the Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you want to add something to that, you can add this as well. 1 Timothy 1. He says, here's a trustworthy saying, one that deserves full acceptance. And that is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive everlasting life. And so it is you get to the book of Romans chapter 1, today's second lesson, and you read there an interesting phrase. It says, the obedience of faith. And be careful you don't trip on that one, because a lot of religions use that sort of word. They talk about obedience. And if you look at them, they say what? Well, we have in our religion, we have an obedience to a code of conduct. Or we have obedience to a set of morals. Or we have obedience to a charitable attitude. Or devotional practice. Or ritual performance. Or spiritual exercises. And Christian people say, wait a second, hold on. What are you talking about? We have an obedience too, but our obedience is faith. Trust in the Lord. Looking to his goodness and his pardon and forgiveness. Now you get a little nervous when we talk that way. It's almost like we're turning faith into an act of obedience. And even our Bible translation, if you look at it, I think they got a little nervous because they said it's the obedience that comes from faith as if St. Paul suffered all that persecution and Jesus suffered and died just to teach us a bunch of morals. You want morals, you can go to any religion. That's not the core of things. No, what St. Paul wrote is he said, this is the obedience that is faith. That's what we fall back on. We look to Jesus, to what he did, how he saved us, how he washed us clean. And if you were ever tempted to pat yourself on the back because you believe, consider that faith is a miracle that God alone can give. It has to come from God. No sinner can produce faith. There's no other way to be saved other than Jesus. The old hymn says, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. No merit, just mercy, no credit, just Christ. Grace to you, peace to you, from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And right there you got your faith. Right there you got your hope. Right there you got your salvation. Right there you got a good way to start a sermon. And right there you got a good way to end a sermon. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.